the book of Acts. And in fact, we're going to continue in the same verses that we went over last week, because we're probably going to be on for the next couple of weeks, because this is a passage of Scripture that's absolutely inexhaustible. And as you get to studying it, it just keeps getting so big you can't do anything with it. So we're going to study in that passage again tonight. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your great love for us and for your word that you preserve, that we might be able to open it up tonight and to study it together. We thank you for the saints that's joined us, and we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will teach us the things you have for us and help us to be prepared to serve you in a better way and to be that ambassador that truly would bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we ask it all in his precious name and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, if you would, in your Bibles tonight, in Acts chapter 3, if you'd like to read along with us, and Virginia's going to post for us. So we're going to read in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. That's the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, as I said, we went over this last week, but what we're attempting to do in our study is to show you that the first part of the book of Acts is a continuation of a Jewish program. It's God dealing with the nation of Israel. It is not the beginning of something new, as so much of Christianity today teaches. The church, the body of Christ, is not present here, and should not be read in because of some of the things that you know about over in the book of Romans. But Peter here, in his second address on the day of Pentecost, is continuing to address the nation of Israel, and the message again is still repent. So we asked ourselves the question, why would Peter at this time say repent? You know, when we open up the Bible today and we study the gospel and we give out the gospel today, we start off with the word believe. You need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he was buried and he rose again the third day. But for the nation of Israel at this particular time, that's not the message that's being preached to them, but it's one of repentance. So we ask the question, why would they repent? Well, the message has been preached to them now for some 3.5 years, a little better than 3.5 years. And the message has been real clear and plain as to what it is. I want you to go back and look at a couple of passages of Scripture tonight so we make sure that we understand this. I want you to come back to Matthew chapter 4 and notice as the Lord Jesus Christ himself begins to preach what it is that he preaches and what he tells the nation of Israel so that they understand their need to repent. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did the Lord Jesus Christ tell these disciples and the nation of Israel when he began his message? The very same thing that John the Baptist had been preaching, and that's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 10, as he continues his ministry, and now he calls his disciples, and he makes them apostles, and he gives them a commission and begins to send them out, what does he tell them to preach? In Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, the question I would like to ask you tonight is, at this point where we're in Acts, did the apostles and the people of Israel that's in this little flock, the ones that believed, did they believe this message? Did they believe that the kingdom of heaven was at hand? Did they believe that it was going to be literally set up at this time? Well, you know, there's some people that say, well, no, it's not, because we know that the church, the body of Christ, is going to start and the kingdom is still a future out there. But again, you're reading something in the scripture that's not there. Did these men understand that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, literally, and it was a real, visible, literal Davidic kingdom that was going to be established on this earth, just as God had promised the nation of Israel back there by all those prophets had been writing ever since Moses? Were they looking for a real kingdom and for the nation of Israel to be established on this earth and in the land that was promised to Abraham and his seed? Well, the answer is yes, they did. And we know that to be true because come back over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the dead, and he spent some time with the disciples now teaching them some things and getting them to understand the things that they need to know at this time before he ascends up to heaven. And so what do you think the logical question would be from these disciples of the Lord at this time if they understood this message all along? Well, here's what it would be. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So, were they out of line by asking that question? Again, some people say, yes, they were out of line. Well, the answer is no, they were not, because they had been taught this message, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so when the Apostle Peter gets to this point in time right here on the day of Pentecost, what should he tell them? Well, if God has changed the program at this point in time, he would not tell them to repent. He would not tell them to get ready for the kingdom. But that's what they've been doing. And so that's what they believe is going on at this time. If you come back to Acts chapter 2, and notice is verse 42 through 47, we see exactly what these men are doing, what this little flock is doing. And I want to ask you the question after we read the verses. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the question is, if God has changed the program, then why are they doing this? And is the church here the church, the body of Christ, or is this the kingdom church? Well, you know, folks, if you're honest and you've read these verses, you understand that this church has got to be the kingdom church. This has got to be the church that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about building back in Matthew chapter 16. Because what they're doing is they're practicing exactly what they've been taught all the way as we've read from Matthew chapter 5 with the beginning of the message that they're preaching and the things that God had told them to do. They're carrying those things out now. So actually we see in the day of Pentecost, we see the beginning of something, but it is the beginning of the practicing the things in real that God had told them they should do if the kingdom is going to be set up. And so the answer to the question has got to be, this is a start of a kingdom church or a continuation of the kingdom church that the Lord is building at this time that has to do with the new covenant and so forth. And it is not the church, the body of Christ. So when we ask this question, we go back to our text in Acts chapter 3, there in verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and we ask again, why are they to repent? Well, you know, there are some that teach here that this is the message today for the church, the body of Christ. We disagree, it is for the nation of Israel. But also there are some that even that teach it's for the nation of Israel take the message and they change it. I alluded to this last week. Notice what verse 19 says. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, that if you read it in the light of just exactly what it says, and remember that the nation of Israel is getting ready for the kingdom, and remember that to go into the kingdom there is something else that's got to take place, and that's the tribulation period. And the tribulation period is a terrible time. It's a time of Israel's cleansing and purifying to get ready to go into that kingdom. And if they go into the tribulation period with their sins not blotted out, it's going to be even worse, because it's going to be harder for them to get that message in that period of time, I believe, than it is at this time. And so they need to have their sins forgiven. They need to be blotted out. Now, here's what happens with so many people in time past that have taught this verse of Scripture. And the reason for this is because they don't understand that this message, again, is just to the nation of Israel. There's nothing changed here. But another reason is, just quite frankly, I don't know. I don't know why so many back in time past have taken this verse of Scripture and changed it. But what they do is this. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing, and instead of when, it says that so the times of the refreshing may come. Now, that's not what that verse says. It does not say in other words, the implication is this. If the nation of Israel at this point in time will repent, what will God do? God will send the times of refreshing. He will send the Lord Jesus Christ back at this particular time. And as we've said before, the kingdom has already been given to true Israel. It's already been given to the little flock. So if that's the case, then what people are saying is, if the rest of the nation of Israel at this point in time right here would repent, then God would set up the kingdom. He would send the Lord Jesus Christ back and set up the kingdom. Well, let me ask you something. Is that the case? You know, every once in a while you hear people ask you this question. They'll say, well, you know, what would have happened back there, Pastor? What would have happened if the nation of Israel would have repented? And would God have set up the kingdom? And I repeatedly say that's not a valid question, because God already knew what was going to happen. You know, plans, God knew ahead of time what was going to happen. He didn't predetermine anything out there was going to happen, but he knew what was going to happen. And what he did is he predetermined that he was going to do certain things because of what the nation of Israel would do. And so the fact that he says repent here, the issue is in repentance for Israel is the issue of their sins. That's what we've talked about before, and we talked about last week. So God already knew that Israel would not repent. So setting up the kingdom could not be conditional on repentance. The thing that repentance is necessary for is that their sins be blotted out. So going through that tribulation period and getting into the kingdom, they're going to be able to do that. Because if their sins are not blotted out, they're not going to get into the kingdom. And so this is just not a conditional thing here as far as that's concerned. The kingdom is going to be set up when the time comes, and it's not going to be conditional on a few people in a particular time period of repenting. You know, the people that say that to have a time explaining something to me. What about all the people in past time back here that's died? What about from Abraham and all those men back there that died, those true believing Jews? What about those people that died? Are they going to go into the kingdom? Well, yes. Is it only depending then when we come to a certain period of time here that several million that are living right at that time, is the kingdom contingent then on those people at that particular time repenting? And so obviously you say, well, it can't be that way. It's got to deal with the whole nation of Israel. Paul says in the Romans 11, so all Israel shall be saved. All those people that have died in time past back here are part of the kingdom and are going to go into the kingdom. So it's not an issue here that God just decided all of a sudden to change his mind because Israel didn't repent and not set up the kingdom. No, he already knew about that. You know, when you study through the book of Matthew, you find that back in Isaiah and some other places, the things that happened to the nation of Israel during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, their rejection of him, was prophesied. You know, it talks about the fact that the Lord caused them to be blinded so they couldn't see. God has a plan and a purpose in all this stuff. He's going to carry that out. And he doesn't just all of a sudden change his mind about doing something other because a little group of people don't repent, you know. And so that's the issue we need to understand. Some people say, you know, well, you dispensationalists teach that God changes his mind all along. Well, no, God never changes his mind, folks. What God does is God knows what he was doing and he knows what's going to happen out there in the future. What he does is he just writes it down as he goes along and explains us the things that he's going to do. So we need to study the Word of God and understand this thing that is taking place. You know, so God had a plan here. He had a plan for the kingdom. He already had an alternative plan. And that plan was put in place and revealed to somebody a little bit later. If you'll come over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, there's something other that takes place that the Apostle Paul tells us about. It explains what happens in there. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God had a plan, and he says now it was a mystery. It was not revealed back there. But you see, the fact that he had already had this plan in place, he had it before the foundations of the world. Before any of these things took place that we've been studying about in the book of Acts, God had that plan put in place, and it was called a mystery. Well, did Peter understand this mystery? Now, if you listen and look carefully at the writings here of the words that Peter says here and the message that Peter preaches, we would say that, no, he doesn't understand the mystery. Why didn't he understand the mystery? Well, you know there's an obvious answer to that, too, isn't there? Turn back over to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a companion to the book of Ephesians, and it gives you some kind of fill-in, some of the things that Paul tells us in both of those church writings. But here's the reason we say Peter didn't understand the mystery. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 24 through 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is a church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice he said that this dispensation of God is given to me for you. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, now, is this the Word of God? Does Paul mean what he says here? And again, really, when we say Paul, we realize that this is God's Word. And so, does God mean what he says when he says that this thing was a mystery, that it was given to the Apostle Paul to reveal? So if it was given to the Apostle Paul to reveal, and he had to be the first, he had to come on the scene to be able to do that, so we ask ourselves a question then, well, on Acts chapter 2, could the Apostle Peter have been preaching the mystery? Well, obviously he could not have, because it was not revealed at that time. In Romans chapter 16, and verses 25 through 27, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Again, Paul makes it real clear, something of it that we need to understand, that this mystery was kept secret since the world began. Well, if it was kept secret since the world began, and the Apostle Peter back here is preaching about something or other, he doesn't say anything about something like that back there that was before the foundation of the world. He doesn't say anything about something that was kept secret, but he does make a real clear statement about something or other that leads me to think that the Apostle Peter could not have possibly been preaching the mystery because he didn't know it. But notice what he says. Come back to Acts chapter 3 there and look at verses 19 through 21 again. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. He said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the restitution, or pardon me, until the times of the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." Now, is there a difference between something that has taken place since the world began and something that has been hid from the prophets and from everyone since the world began? Well, if words mean anything, folks, you know, Pastor Fred always says things that are different and not the same. And that's certainly obvious, isn't it? So, according to Paul's message, Peter wasn't preaching the mystery because he didn't know it. He couldn't have. And according to Peter's own message here, the message that was spoken by him was by all the prophets since the world began. He goes all the way back to Moses and comes down through the whole list there, and talks about the issue of this message being something other that has been talked about over and over and over. That's the reason that the nation of Israel should have been expecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be ready for this. It's not something new. It's not something hard for them to believe, because the Lord Jesus Christ had come on the scene doing exactly what he was supposed to do, what prophecy said he was supposed to do. All the things that he did was the signs for the nation of Israel, that they might get ready for the kingdom. And the kingdom was just a glorious thing for them. It was a tremendous thing for the nation of Israel. It's like you and I today. We talk about all the joys, you know, getting out of this world and being raptured up to heaven. You know, that's a blessed hope. That's a joy of our life. Well, you remember back here to the nation of Israel, the kingdom message is the same thing. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to the earth here. And verse 20 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." He's going to send Jesus back to the earth to set up the kingdom and the rule and reign with his people here. With us, he's going to take us out of here and take us up to heaven to be with him up there in the body of Christ in the heavenlies. It's a reverse situation. But Peter here is not preaching that message, folks. Now, when we come back to Acts chapter 3 and look at the passage of Scripture again, it's clear that these prophets back here spoke about these things, so it's not a mystery. Moses spoke of these days, which are actually the last days of Israel. Why folks can't seem to get that, I don't know, but look there what he says in verses 22 through 24. Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Peter saying, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Well, you know, folks, when you read something that says foretold of these days, you ought to ask yourself the question, what days? What days are you talking about, Peter? What was Moses talking about back there when he talked about these days? Who is this prophet that was going to come that they were supposed to hear and that was going to make such an impact on their life? Well, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says these days, we ask ourselves the question, well, what days? Well, come back to Acts chapter 2 for just a moment. And let's look at Peter again telling us on the day of Pentecost. Remember now, he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He has a gift of knowledge. He has all these different gifts and stuff. And so I believe firmly that when he says what he does, he knows what he's talking about. And God bears witness to that because he preserved it in his word for us. So look at what he says there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16 down through verse 21. Peter says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he goes back and he's going to quote a passage of scripture back over in the book of Joel. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we've gone through that, but again, I want you to understand that Peter here is preaching about Israel's last days. So when we come over in chapter 3 and he goes into that second message and he talks about those days, or these days, when he talks about all the prophets have talked about these days, it's this thing that Joel's talking about here, and it's very clear. And he talks about the great and notable day of the Lord there, the great and notable day of the Lord. What is that, and when does that take place? Well, come back over again to Acts chapter 3 and look what he said at verse 23 and why that makes such an impact on these people, or should make a tremendous impact on them. You know, so many times when we get into Acts, and especially those of us who have been taught by somebody in the past that taught us the wrong thing, we're just looking at this totally and contrary to everything it says and reading something into it. Again, if we just take the verses and mean just what they say, and they'll say, well, where is this taking place? You know, we'll understand why it's saying what it is. Verse 23, it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet. What prophet now we're talking about? We're talking about the prophet that Moses said that the Lord God would raise up among you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, the people that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Well, who are those people that that's talking about? He's talking about these people right here Peter's addressing. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to the nation of Israel. They've rejected him. And the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended up to heaven. And Apostle Peter is doing an excellent job here in these two messages so far of getting the nation of Israel to understand something. You crucified your Messiah. You killed him. And now God has raised him from the dead. And he's going to do this. There's two things at this point Peter is touched on. And he quotes the scripture. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he ascends up to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of his Father, and he's going to stay there until God makes his foes his footstool. That's the reason they were pricked in the heart there on the day of Pentecost, and they repented. But then he says that he's going to sit on the throne of David. And so prior even to these two things, what he's talking about right here is in the tribulation period, when these two witnesses go out and they begin to seal the nation of Israel, those 12,000 from each one of these tribes, and they begin that great awakening for the nation of Israel, when they don't respond to this message, they don't respond to this gospel of the kingdom, they're going to be destroyed from among the people. And so that really gets these people's attention. That's God's message, folks, but that's God's message to Israel. That's not a message to you and I today. That's not something that should worry you. It's not something that should scare you or cause you to fear in any way. But it would to these people. And he makes it real clear. He says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant. God had a covenant with the nation of Israel. And so these things that are happening here, this is according to a covenant that God had made with Abraham back there. And so it's God's message to Israel. And it's made with their fathers. In Acts chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, notice, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now what an indictment. You are the children of Israel, and what have you done? God sent him to you. He sent him to you first. And he raised up his Son to turn away from every one of you, turn every one of you away from his iniquities and your sin. And what is the nation of Israel interested in? Well, they're like too many people in the world today. They're interested in the material and the physical things. They were interested in their freedom from their bondage and so forth, but they didn't understand the issue of their sins and the fact that that had to be dealt with. The only way that could be dealt with was under that new covenant with the nation of Israel, when he had to shed his blood to wipe away their sins and cause them to not be remembered anymore, completely forget them. So the nation of Israel here has got a wonderful message sent to them, but they're not responding to it. Israel is first to be saved, and then the nations. In that covenant that God made with Abraham, it says, "And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Now, that to me tells me there's a separation in this message at this time from the nation of Israel and all the other nations. And we know real clearly that that's not the case. When we get over a little bit further, and especially we get into the Pauline epistles, we learn something has changed. But here there is a separation. There's Israel and the Gentiles. There's Israel and the nations. There's Israel and the heathen. And so there's a separation in here because God has a covenant. You know, a covenant is a relationship or agreement that God makes with somebody. And in this particular covenant we're talking about here, it's a conditional covenant, covenant of the law. He says, all those that will do certain things and keep certain laws, he says, I'll bless you. But then he also goes back to the covenant back there with Abraham. And in that covenant, it was a covenant of promise, where God had just promised to give these things to the nation of Israel unconditionally. But they have not responded and like they should have in either one of these covenants. Both of them required for them just to believe what God said. But we need to understand that this message right here is Israel's message, is to Israel first. Let's come back and look at some verses of Scripture that shows this real clear. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, the first one we want to look at. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 22 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 through 28. And I know many of you are familiar with the passage of Scripture, so it's nothing new. But here's the passage that shows you the difference between Israel and the nations. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. We're going to read down through verse 28. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, or it is not suitable, it is not fit, it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. There's a great passage on the difference between the nation of Israel and the Gentiles. How that is that covenant that God made with Abraham, you know, if you bless a Jew, you get blessings. I will bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you. And here comes a Gentile woman wanting a blessing, but she's not entitled to that blessing except a certain way. And so as she first comes, she's turned away. And he makes it real clear that it's not suitable, it's not right at this time to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, to the Gentiles. Why is that? Certainly the Apostle Paul would never say that, would he? But at this time you could say that because the children's bread was the kingdom. The blessings of the kingdom, that was given to the nation of Israel, folks. And here in our passage of Scripture, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the kingdom. We're not dealing with the church, the body of Christ. And so, at that time, it's a kingdom message. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The Lord come in the flesh to the nation of Israel. It's to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles out there. They are to be blessed under the program and be blessed by the nation of Israel and through the nation of Israel. In Acts chapter 13, look at verses 44 through 46. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. God had sent them to the nation of Israel. And at this time, the apostle Paul and Barnabas, though, have been sent to the Gentiles. The nation of Israel was to receive it first. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the message this time, folks, is to the nation of Israel. Paul's message is where we find the thing that gets all this straightened out. It's too bad that the world today can't see the distinction between the revelation of the mystery and the kingdom program. They can't see the difference between the preaching of the circumcision and the preaching of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God compared to the gospel of the law and the kingdom work system. But, you know, once that light comes on and you begin to see that, then you begin to see something that's really important. Paul is the one that has the answer. Come over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. There are many verses, but let's just look at this one. And we're not attempting right now to prove Paul's message at this time, other than the fact that you know that it's different and that it's distinct from that of the Apostle Peter. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul uses the same word there in verse 13 as Peter did on the day of Pentecost when he quoted Joel. However, there's a totally difference in what they're talking about. In Joel's prophecy back there, he's talking about the nation of Israel in the tribulation period. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the church, the body of Christ, when there's something other that's happened. And now there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentiles. There is no difference in the church, the body of Christ today. When you become a member of the church, the body of Christ, that distinction is removed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he was buried and he rose again, and you trust that shed blood and nothing else, the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the body of Christ, not the kingdom. You do not become a member of the nation of Israel. I realize there are people out there that teach we become spiritual Jews, but I'm afraid that's not what the Bible teaches. But look at what this passage of Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You see, in the church, the body of Christ today, there's not that distinction. He's not the Jew first. There is no Jew in the church, the body of Christ. There is a Gentile. In verse 20, he says, "But now," and you know what "but now" indicates. It's a change. Something has taken place. "But now are they many members, yet but one body." There is no nation of Israel today that God is dealing with. That's the reason the Apostle Paul tells us that, yea, though we know Christ after the flesh, as he dealt with the nation of Israel, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's not the Christ that we serve today. We serve the Christ that's the Christ of the church, the head of the body, not the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Israel. And one day he's going to come back and he's going to set up this kingdom program. And under the kingdom program, there is his people, and there's going to be Gentiles in there at that time. If you would come over to Romans chapter 15 and look at what the Apostle Paul, look at the distinction that the Apostle Paul makes even here concerning the nation of Israel and the Gentiles. Again, many people read the passage of Scripture, but they don't seem to see what it's saying. Romans chapter 15 and verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 15 and verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The fathers back during the nation of Israel. God had made them some promises. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ come, he come as a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm those promises, to verify God was going to do those things that he promised back there. And in verse 9 he says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles. What's the next three words, folks? With his people. You see, Paul here, again, he's talking about, in the kingdom program, he's talking about with the nation of Israel, and when the Gentiles are going to be saved under that kingdom program out there, they're going to praise the Lord for his mercy with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel today is, as I said, is not God's people, and it's not what God is doing today. He's not blessing the nation of Israel, and he hasn't been for the last nearly 2,000 years. And, you know, to most people that would just look into history and look at what's going on would realize that's true. And yet there are so many people today that think that we better be real careful about what we do with Israel. Because they go back and look at these verses and you think about what God has promised Israel and they look at this covenant that he made with the neighbor Abraham and so forth. But folks, God again is not blessing Israel today. God is blessing everybody today through the Lord Jesus Christ. We become one with him. We become one with him in the church, the body of Christ today. So I want you to come back to Acts chapter 3 now and look at a couple of verses in closing and think about some things that we want to look at next week. We today, as we said, are not in this program here. This is not to us. Our message today in ministry is the church today, the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace. But I want you to look at what Peter really is telling these people. We've talked about the idea of repenting and the fact that the message is to Israel and so forth. But what we want to do in next week in our last message on this passage of Scripture is deal with 19, 20, and 21 again. So let's go back and read them. Acts chapter 3, verses 19. Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Peter makes it real clear that they need to have their sins blotted out because something is coming. And what is it? It gives it two titles in here. And next week we want to look at those two things. The first one is in verse 19. He says, when the times of refreshing shall come. And it's not when the times of refreshing may come. They are coming. They're coming right on schedule. But what are the times? Notice it's not a time of refreshing, but it's times of refreshing. So what are those things? And then in verse 21, he says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Both of these things, though, he says, are the things that God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we know one thing immediately about these things. We know these are things that God has prophesied about, They're not part of the church, the body of Christ. They're not part of the mystery. So what we want to do next week is we want to look at these two things, identify what they are, but most important thing is we want to identify what's going to take place in these things. And we want to see how, again, that people today are so confused about what God is really doing today and how that they want to take these things that God is talking about out here that He's promised the nation of Israel that are going to come to pass in the future out there. They want to put them today in the church, the body of Christ. You know, when we rightly divide the word of truth, we just eliminate so many problems and so many headaches and so much confusion. And most of all, we could bring the church today back into unity. But the church today is so confused because they don't understand the difference between Israel's program and our program today, the church, the body of Christ. So you think about these two things and study up, and next week we'll come back if the rapture doesn't take place. If it does, we won't worry about it. We'll know what it is then for sure. But Lord willing, next week we'll come back and deal with these two terms. Let's have a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for another time that we have to study together. We thank You for Your Word, and we just pray that You'd bless it to our hearts, make it so real to us that we just rejoice in it. And even though sometimes we're studying things that don't pertain to us, it brings us great joy to understand what those things really are, and then to not be able to misappropriate them to us, and to rightly divide your word, so that when we get into the things that are to us today, we realize the real joy of what God is doing today, and we eliminate all that confusion between the two. So thank You again for our time to study, and thank You for the folks that are faithful to come. We pray that You bless each and every one. We'll be careful to give You the praise. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for His sake we pray. Amen.